Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Chris McMichael.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours as we take it to 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. We got Fleegs on the other side, and we're taking your calls at 888-808-1019. On this Wednesday morning, both of our baseball teams with victories. It wasn't so easy for the New York Yankees against the Twins. Can I ask you a question? Honestly, and I know you can't answer me because that's not how this works. But what am I doing pacing the floor of my house in a game that was 10-1 against the Minnesota Twins? But we'll get to the Yankees and how they almost blew it. And the misleading score that makes you think the bullpen was actually awful in a game that I don't know if they were. But we'll get to that because it starts with the New York Mets. Your New York Mets. As yesterday, last night, they take it to the Padres early. They blast Michael King, who's going to be a free agent, and I'm sure many people will be calling to sign Michael King. We'll see. But they blast Michael King early in a game that they obviously desperately needed coming off of the big win, the walk-off win from Pete Alonso in the middle of this, you know, pennant race trying to hold on to this final wild card spot. And there's a lot of good things out of this game. Like, there's a lot of good things out of this game. Obviously, the first inning, right? Obviously, the first inning you get after the Vientos double play. Those next two hits from the double from McNeil and the home run from Beatty, who has been excellent in the second half, who has really solidified his spot on this team, should be playing every day, pretty much has been playing every day. He's got an over 800 OPS in the second half of the season. He has really, and that he has a beautiful swing. He still has the same beautiful swing he's had since he's come up. The results are there. He has really settled in. But I'll tell you this. That game is completely different. Completely different. If they come away with only one run and it ends with that double play and then Jeff McNeil pops up or strikes out or does whatever and does not get any more runs in, the momentum of having bases loaded, already a run in, nobody out, and not being able to get another run and break that game open, that's a devastating blow to a team looking to get ahead, a team who desperately needs the win, a team coming off 8 losses in a row before the win the other night with Pete Alonso. Like, you cannot have bases loaded, nobody out, already a run in, and end it there. That Jeff McNeil double down the line is enormous. The Beatty home run to make it a 5-0 first inning is enormous. And then the second inning, and my man Fleegs tweeted it out, and he's 100% right. We have seen this team time and time again, including, I forget which game, the first or second game of the, or the third maybe game of the Philly series. Or was it the final one? The final game of the Philly series, where they jump out to the 4-0 lead. They jump out to that 4-0 lead. They don't do anything again offensively, literally, as they get shut down 25 consecutive outs from that moment on after the first inning. We have seen that time and time again from this offense, an offense that you're relying on as your piggybacking starters, and we'll get to that, and your bullpen is struggling in the back end, and we'll get to that, and how the piggybacking might help that situation. But, like, as this team is floundering, you're relying on an offense that has Pete Alonso, that has Francisco Lindor, this version of Francisco Lindor that we saw last night, has Pete Alonso, has Juan Soto, has now a Beatty with an 800 OPS, has a Vientos who's starting to get his stuff back together, has a Jeff McNeil that's, you know, a little bit more powerful, maybe not a batting title, but a competent major league hitter for the first time in 2 years. This is a Brandon Nimmo that's got a little more pop, you know, pep in his bat, a little more pop in his bat, and has had a better season, although he's had some struggles as well. But, like, this is an offense that's supposed to be carrying you. We've had this conversation over and over and over again. And to score the first five runs in the inning, obviously huge. Huge not to leave it at one. Huge to get those two hits. Huge to break the game open. Huge to get the King in that first inning and put up a five spot. But to follow it right away with the two home runs in the second, to have the bomb from Lindor on a night where his family was there, he had his wife playing the violin for the national anthem. We saw what that man did last year. We know how important Francisco Lindor is to this team. We know it. He's not the captain yet. I don't know if he will be the captain. I understand Juan Soto thinks that Marte is the leader of the team, and there's debate about this. I don't care. We saw last year, in the best 3 months that this franchise has had in forever, Francisco Lindor carry them. And this year has been up and down at best. It has not been what you've wanted. He has not come through in the clutch. He's been dealing with the broken pinky toe, whatever that might have hindered him along the lines. He has not had the season you would have hoped off of last year's MVP caliber season. But the beauty of being the New York Mets, the beauty of being the New York Yankees, the beauty of being the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies is that on a moment's notice, all that matters is the next game and the next few weeks and the next month of October. And to watch him hit that home run, have it followed up by a 430-foot second deck bomb from Pete Alonso and make it seven right away to give Clay Holmes and Manaea that kind of lead and to keep the offense going. And I know they don't do much after that, but that second inning and getting another two runs on two bombs against Michael King is huge. The first two innings of this game are what you're looking for from this Met team. Obviously, you always want to score seven in the first two. It's not likely. But on games where you have the opportunity, on games where it's there for you, on games where Michael King clearly doesn't have it, and you're one hit away from breaking open the game early, you got to take advantage, and they did. When you get out to that early lead, you can't just sit on it. You got to continue to send the message, and you got to continue to get a pitcher going who's been struggling. You have to do it right then and there. You can't allow the zeros to be put up and suddenly, oh, a two-run home run. Oh, suddenly a ball down the line. Suddenly, as we saw in the Yankee game, suddenly a big lead, a 5-0 lead is 5-2, and suddenly it doesn't feel like you have this amazing lead. Suddenly, with all the zeros, the momentum switches in the game. And to come right back out and get those two home runs from the guys you're expecting it from Francisco Lindor, from Pete Alonso, back-to-back days for a home run for Pete, 35 on the year. Those two moments, those two innings were huge for this Met team in a game they desperately needed. They need to take two out of three in this series. They need it. They need to go sweep the Nationals. They need it. We'll get into the standings and we'll get into why all of a sudden the Arizona Diamondbacks are obviously the team you're most concerned about, as you are two games up in the loss column over Arizona and three games up over both Cincinnati, who is absolutely floundering. They got swept by the A's. They've split the first two games of their series against the St. Louis Cardinals.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They were right there, and now they're three games back. The San Francisco Giants, same thing. They were a hot team, right on the precipice of taking over the New York Mets for that final third wild card spot. Now they're back to three, plus the Mets have a tiebreaker. That's like four games. And I'm sorry, it's tough to make up four games with 11 to play. So it's almost as if you can forget the San Francisco Giants for at least a minute. I know the Mets have to go out and win games and play well, but the San Francisco Giants are in a tough spot considering the Mets have the tiebreaker. It's still three games to catch you from Cincinnati, and it's two against Arizona. And most likely, if they catch you, they will have the tiebreaker because they're playing a lot of interdivision games, which are going to be tough. They're playing the Giants still and the Dodgers. If they win those games to catch you, they will have the better record inside the division. So, like, that's the team to fear right now. And you are only two games up. This team has a track record. This team, although they blew it last year, went to the World Series a couple years ago. They're a talented group. And right now, they're the dangerous team chasing you, and you need these games. And to jump out like that was enormous. That McNeil double down the first baseline is a huge hit. The Beatty home run's huge. And then to follow it up with a couple more in the second inning was vital to show this offense that you can't just rest on your laurels. You can't just come out, break the game open, and then cruise through the rest of the game. You don't have the pitching staff for it. You don't have the bullpen for it. And let's get to the pitching, because that's one of, if not the story of the game outside of the offense early on, is the piggyback nature of last night. As Clay Holmes goes four, gives up a couple, and they go to Manaea in the fifth, and he pitches the rest of the way, only allows one run, did a very nice job. And look, I'll be totally honest with you. I love the idea. Love the idea. I love the idea of piggybacking these two starters. I like the idea. It's and we'll see. I guess I don't know if he in the post game Mendoza fully told you exactly how it's going to go. But there's some thought that the next time around it could be Manaea first and Clay Holmes second. Like, you're talking about pretty much putting one of those guys in the bullpen, right? That's pretty much what's happening here. But you're piggybacking two starters that have historically this season, throughout the last month, have been able to get you through four or five without falling apart, but that's it. And to piggyback them, it makes all the sense in the world. It sounds great, right? In a postseason series, it eliminates. We have seen it time and time again with the Yankees, with all these teams. Your bullpen gets tired. You see the same relievers in the same spots because these guys believe in lanes. So you get to the 6, 7, 8 guys in a lineup, happen to be right-handed or happen to be left-handed, and they'll see Brooks Raley for three times in a series. Or they'll see, you know, who, you know, Stanek two or three times in a series because you believe in lanes and you believe in guys you trust. We see it over and over again. Not only do they get tired, but they get very familiar inside a long series. And to be able to have this, I mean, I could see this being a playoff situation because you really don't have another starter you feel all that confident with. And to be able to piggyback these two guys, which are completely different. You got a sinker slider type, you know, Clay Holmes from the right side. You're bringing a sidearm-ish Manaea from the left side. It's a good complement. It changes up the lineup, right? If it's a team that has platoon splits or a team that plays lefty-righty, you play into that a little bit. Like, it makes a lot of sense. It feels great on paper, and it worked the first time out. I still don't know if I have confidence that Sean Manaea, I know he says he found something in the last three innings. He was challenged by his manager, mostly just about trusting his stuff. And feeling as if, hey, I'm Sean Manaea. I had a great year last year. I just make a lot of money. I just got a big contract. My stuff's good enough. I'm going to go out there and throw it, right? Okay, that's great. That's great. Last time he pitched, we were all screaming he can't make another start. I'm not ready to tell you. I have uber confidence coming out of the bullpen that Sean Manaea is going to pitch five innings of one-run baseball every time. It worked game one. It makes a lot of sense to me. It saves the bullpen on any given night. If you get into a stretch where you're playing a lot of close games down this 11 games, you want to give Diaz a day, you have this built-in. You know, you're still probably going to go to Diaz in a closer game. That's the other benefit of it, is you did get out to an early lead. You did put up a lot of runs. It's a little bit light on pressure, even against a good San Diego Padres team. But I think it makes sense. I think it's a smart idea. I'm kind of interested in the idea of Manaea starting and Clay Holmes coming in out of the pen. But either way, I'm cool with it. I'm just not ready to declare it the success that's clearly going to be a weapon for the New York Mets. Like, I want to see it work. I want to see it play out. I'm still not very confident in Sean Manaea pitching through these loose bodies in his elbow. It's been a good now 8 innings. It's been a good 8 innings. He hasn't pitched this well since the end of July. And I want to see how it looks. And you're still going to probably go to the back end of your bullpen if they get you through 8 or 9 in a big game. Or 7 or 8 in a big game. So overall, you saw a lot of positive things. You saw them try this pitching piggyback, worked out really well. The offense that you're desperate to take control of this team and be the driving force, as it was for times in August, they come through with big hits. They break the game open and keep scoring. You're able to give the bullpen a night off for this important stretch where you need every one of these games as the Diamondbacks are chasing you. So all in all, that was a really good win for the New York Mets. It's back-to-back wins, and they've kind of stabilized this. That's what you're looking for, too. When you're in free fall, and it's 8 in a row, and everything is going wrong, and the bullpen can't hold the lead when you have the young kids who've pitched really well, or you don't score enough runs, or something like just 8 in a row, a million different ways you got beat out in Philadelphia. Like, you just needed to stabilize this thing. Because let's be honest, there's 11 games left, right? And while on one breath you could say, well, that's a lot of games left and you need to win all of them, and the other breath, it's hard to catch teams. Even 2-game leads, even 3-game leads. With 11 left, it is very difficult. So to stabilize the season, these last two games, these last two wins, set yourself 3 games up on the two teams you thought were chasing you, and now the Arizona Diamondbacks have jumped up to be the team to catch you. They're still 2 back in the loss column, playing a very difficult schedule. The Reds haven't been able to beat the A's and the Cardinals, and the Giants, who both of those teams, you know, the Giants and the Diamondbacks, traded away pieces or playing each other. Someone's losing. Yes, someone's winning, but someone's losing. It's hard to catch the team ahead of you with 11 games left. And the Mets are back in the position that we've thought they've been in this entire time, and that what they've told you they've been in this entire time. It's all right there in front of them. If they handle their business and take one of these next two against San Diego and then go take care of the Nationals, you're looking at a team that's very unlikely to miss the postseason. And again, get in and get hot. And I'll tell you right now, Pete Alonso, Juan Soto, what Beatty has been for the second half of the year. Hopefully Vientos can be the same player he was for you down the stretch and into the postseason last year. Jeff McNeil having a bounce back year. Brandon Nimmo. Whatever. Cedric Mullins hits a home run in this game. Like, all of that is nice. Juan Soto, and as great as he is, we haven't seen it in a Met uniform just yet. So I can't tell you he's the difference maker, but he clearly is that kind of player. But Francisco Lindor is the guy who carried you last year. Francisco Lindor is the type of guy that when he goes, this team goes. There is something about when he is carrying you, when he is hitting leadoff home runs, when he is the guy, the team feels different. Juan Soto had been the guy for the entire month of June. Juan Soto had been the guy for a lot of that August run. Juan Soto's got 40 home runs and 30 stolen bases, then a 936, 940 OPS. He's hitting 250. He's having a great Juan Soto type year. He's the only 30-30 guy in all of Major League Baseball. He is having an incredible season. Statistically having an incredible season. The Mets have lost while he was playing his best at every point. One of the best months of June the Mets franchise has ever seen. It began the June swoon. From Father's Day on, the rest of June was terrible while he was crushing it. August. The offense won a couple games, but he was killing it. The Mets were still floundering and building a under 17 game under 500 record since the middle of June. Like, he's been the best offensive weapon on the team in the National League for weeks at a time during this season. And it hasn't impacted the Mets the way Francisco Lindor does. And to watch him and his family and his wife and the home run, that's what you're looking for. And we can say everything we want about the failings of this team and the faults of this team. And we'll get into some of the things the general manager had to say about the starting pitching. And there are issues. There are issues. You're going to be relying heavily on young starters down the stretch here in these 11 games and into the postseason. You got a bullpen that's outside of Diaz and maybe, you know, Brooks Raley. It's hard to trust. It's hard to trust. And a lineup that's been inconsistent all year long. There is no doubt. There are failings. There are faults. There are weaknesses on this team that are capable of not allowing it out of the wild card. But if they get in, and they get in while Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor are hot, and you found something in McLean who can pitch like a top of the rotation pitcher, even if it is just for the next month, and then you can worry about the rest of his career after that. Tell me who's that much better. Tell me who's that much more dangerous. As you watch the Dodgers flounder around and probably going to win 90 games. And yeah, the Phillies are great, but and have played really well here and just took you to the woodshed for a four-game series. You've historically owned them, including last year in the postseason, and it hasn't hurt them as of yet. They don't have their ace. They've had other guys step up. They have a really good rotation, no doubt, and it's not like they can't win without him, but they don't have their ace. The Milwaukee Brewers are a really great story. They play a really good brand of baseball. They're an exciting team. They do a lot of things right. I am not afraid of the Milwaukee Brewers. Get in, get hot, have your best players playing up to their capability, and have your leader, your future captain, and the guy who carried you to the NLCS last year get hot at the right time. I don't care if you sneak in with 85 wins. I don't care if you sneak in with 88 wins. I don't care how you get in. Get in. Get hot. Get a couple of performances you weren't expecting. A couple guys to step up. And anything is possible. And right now it feels like they're going to get in. I don't want to jinx it, but they're three games up on the two teams that have been chasing them for the last 2 weeks. They're two games up on the Arizona Diamondbacks with an impossible schedule. And the Mets just took the Padres to the woodshed for the first game of this three-game set. So for a Met fan, you got to be feeling good today. Back-to-back wins off the eight-game losing streak feels a hell of a lot better. So you get a big home run from Lindor and Alonso. You get a big first inning and a big hit from McNeil. You get a good pitching performance from both of your starters that you decided to mash together. And you found a way to beat up on the San Diego Padres. So good start for the Mets. We'll get to the Yankees in a little bit. We'll take your Met calls next, 888-808-1019. We'll obviously talk football because we're in the middle of the football season. A stat that I guess we all knew but came across my television earlier today about the New York Giants that is just so unfair and makes me want to cry. I don't even want to mention it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.